Today's podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. Allergy season is here, and that means one thing. You need the Thunderstorm. Save on their lowest price with code word Howie at EdenPure.com.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
And we're back. I'm Holly Robichaud, filling in for Grace Curley today. If you'd like to be part of the conversation, hey, give us a call at 844-500-4242. And as promised, when we were going into the break, I said we'd be talking about election integrity. Now, I'm sure you haven't heard, but there has been a lawsuit filed in Massachusetts by Karen Caruso, John Moran, Ingrid Centurion, Steve Hall, and Craig Valdez. And what they filed about was that the state of Massachusetts, the legislature, basically changed the way we vote here in the state. They're not allowed to do that because it's in our constitution. And they just amended it by a bill. They should have had to gone for a constitutional amendment, which they didn't do. And so a lawsuit has been filed, and as you might suspect, a judge appointed by Deval Patrick threw it out, and they said that these former candidates didn't have standing. I'm not sure who had standing then, because we found out at the federal level that the state of Texas and the rest of the states that affected and properly voted, they didn't have standing. Now we have candidates that don't have standing. I don't understand who has standing to do this, because you can't. One of the problems is that you can't. Maura Healey's like, well, you can go through the recount process, but you really can't, because this is not a matter of recount. When you recount, you're counting the ballots. It doesn't look at, when you're doing the recount, who the actual voters are, verifying that those are real voters out there. So I'm not sure who has standing and how you can fix these problems, but I thought we'd have Karen Caruso on to talk about the lawsuit, where we're at, has she given up, and what's going on. So good afternoon, Karen.
Hey, thanks, Holly. Great to be here. Happy Memorial Day to you and your viewers. Without barbecues, but I'm glad to be here talking about this, because as far as I'm concerned, this is the number one issue facing the voters of Massachusetts. And right now, you are absolutely correct. We did file a lawsuit, and the judge did dismiss it. We have appealed already. We appealed within 48 hours of her decision. And our lawsuit, it's pretty basic, Holly. What it says is that our Constitution in Massachusetts, by the way, the oldest constitution in the country, a model for the U.S. Constitution, it dictates how we vote. And it says you vote on election day, or you vote under three strict provisions for absentee. You're either out of state, you're physically disabled, or you have a religious exemption. So when the legislature decided to pass mail-in voting, never waste a good crisis, right, those guys, they didn't follow the amendment process, because it would have taken back-to-back legislative sessions and a vote of the people. And while they were trying to pass this as quickly as possible, they just took it as a regular vote, and that's where the constitutional violation occurred, and that is the complete basis of our lawsuit.
Now, so we have this Judge Kenton Walker, who is a Deval Patrick appointee, dismiss it, said that you didn't have standing in this. Who have you appealed to? And do you believe that you have standing in this whole thing?
It's almost a ridiculous question, Holly. You know, we've appealed to the appeals court, and what's going to happen is that we're appealing it essentially on the fact that the judge never addressed the constitutional violation. She simply glossed over it. It takes a lot of courage to say, you guys overstepped in your arrogance, You guys overstepped, and you can't do this. And you know how we know, Holly, because back in 2019, the legislature tried to do this. The difference that time, there was no COVID, and they actually started the amendment process. But they realized how cumbersome it was going to be, and they dropped it. So they're fully aware that it takes a constitutional amendment, but they just said, we're going to disregard it. And unfortunately, the judge didn't address that when she responded, and she dismissed our case. So we're going to appeal it on that basis, just saying, hey, you never addressed this. It's a constitutional issue. It must be addressed, and that's what the basis is for our appeal.
Okay, terrific. Now, the legislature is so they passed that for a temporary, but now they're coming back with these what they call election modernization bills, okay, this coalition of very, very liberals. And they are pushing, like, House 805, which would do same-day, would allow same-day registration and make mail-in balloting permanent. Do you know where those pieces of legislation are, and are you going to fight that? I know you're doing the lawsuit, but are you going to be fighting these other pieces of legislation?
Absolutely, Holly. You know, an overhauling of our election system and taking the COVID-19 pandemic is inherently wrong. You know, we vote one way in Massachusetts. We had a vote absentee, which is voter-initiated, okay? This whole mail-in ballot situation was state-initiated. You took a voter roll, which are clearly outdated. We know by the amount of ballot applications that are returned to sender, and you mailed everyone on those voter rolls an application to get a ballot. That's not the way absentee voting works. It's voter-initiated based on, as I said, physical disability, you're out of state, or religious exemption, okay? But these people on Beacon Hill, they're arrogant. They have no respect for the rule of law. Okay, no respect. And so by doing this, once again, it's another parachute. It's another way to usurp the Constitution. They're still violating the Constitution. And that's why our case is so important, because it says to them, the way you're going about this is constitutionally wrong. It's a violation, and you must stop. So we're going to oppose it, whether it's an extension, whether it's a new bill, or whether it's the last election. We're opposing it on every front. And we're hoping for a declaratory judgment from the judge that says, hey, this was a violation, and you guys need to stop, cease and desist. That's what we're hoping for.
Is there any chance of overturning any of the election results, or are you just hoping to go forward to say you've got to stop this mail-in balloting crap?
Well, unfortunately, you know, we can't overturn the election as bad as it was and as inherently wrong as it was. You know, we can't do that. But we discussed with the judge when we had our hearing. You know, we said, you know, she said, well, do you really want to revote? We said, you know, we're open to what you see as a remedy, judge. I mean, we gave her so much respect. And we said, we just want this to stop going forward. That's really our goal, is to stop it going forward. And, you know, she didn't even have enough courage, judicial courage, to even address that aspect of our lawsuit, which was really insulting to us.
Well, she wouldn't get invited to the right parties, Caroline. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, she'd be on the outs with the liberal elitist if she had addressed it. You know, the mail-in balloting, I have a huge problem with it. First of all, you have no idea of who's filling out these ballots. We've had ballot boxes stuffed. We've had ballot boxes set on fire. We found out from the Kennedy Markey race, many, many ballots weren't counted. I have a huge problem, but my overall biggest problem with this is that it is nothing more than incumbency protection, because it cuts down on the amount of time that these candidates have to talk to voters, to get their message out. It makes campaigns far more expensive for tracking these ballots and talking to these voters as they do the mail-in balloting before they're, I mean, they're doing it as early as September. For me, it is a huge problem.
It definitely is. You know, incumbents generally have a war chest. They generally can spend more money. And this is even worse in Massachusetts because, Holly, our primary is so late. You know, our primary is in September, and these mail-in ballot applications went out the first week in October. If you had a primary, you didn't even know who you were running against, and you have a month to campaign. You have right up until Election Day. And additionally, Holly, and this is huge when it comes to this issue, is a Joint Committee on Election Laws, bipartisan committee, drafted some substantive questions, basic questions surrounding the process of mail-in voting. And one of those questions was, hey, when you sent out close to 4 million ballot applications, how many were returned to sender, and did those people vote? Now, we're hearing right now that there are large numbers of returned ballot applications sitting in a building in Boston, okay, returned to sender. And there are multiple reasons, move, deceased, you know, whatever it is. But one of the questions was, how many? Quantify it, Mr. Galvin. Go in and count the ballot applications that were returned. And he will not answer that question. And I believe, Holly, the reason he won't answer that question is because that's a direct correlation to the condition of our voter rolls. And his job as Secretary of State, well, he's got a lot of things that fall under his job. You know, he has to support fair and open elections. He has to oversee voter registration, absentee voting, ballot access, campaign finance, and, you know, he has to certify the voting equipment. But mainly, he must maintain those voter rolls. And that's his responsibility. And I believe that the reason that we're not getting the number of return ballot applications that are sitting in a room in Boston is because there's a large number and that the voter rolls have not been maintained. We're a very transient city. We're a very transient state, okay? So those are questions that he says are impossible to answer. Is he kidding me? Go in and count the ballot applications. There's so many pieces of mail in a foot, so many in a tray. Count the trays and multiply it. But he won't give us that information, and he needs to come clean, Holly.
He does. He does. So, Caroline, we're right up against it. Where do people find out more information? How do they get involved? How do they help you in this whole balloting mess?
Okay, they can go to Facebook. It's called MER Massachusetts Election Reform PAC. We're trying to form a PAC. We haven't formed it yet, but go on that page, like that page, and send us a message, or you can email me, CarolineColaruso@gmail.com. Tell me you're interested in this. We're getting a lot of traction across the state. We want to get the lawsuit out there more, and we'd appreciate any of your viewers that would reach out to us.
All right. Well, thank you, Caroline, for joining us on Memorial Day. Keep up the good work, and keep us informed of what's happening with that lawsuit.
Thank you, Holly.
I'm Holly Robichaud, filling in for Grace Curley. We'll be right back. Did you see what happened with Texas? We'll be talking about it.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. Start the afternoon off right.
Now what? Now comes the girl. Here she is. This is just the best part of my day.
It's Grace Curley.
And we're back on this Memorial Day. I'm Holly Robichaud, filling in for Grace Curley. We got Jared on the board. And as you know, it's time for the poll question. Today's poll question is brought to you by the Howie Carr Show store. Need a gift for Father's Day? Go to the HowieCarrShow.com, click on store, and browse through all the cheap bastard deals, including deals on camping, landscaping, car washes, firearm courses, and more. Don't forget to pick up your couple copies of Howie Carr's books while they're there. Go to HowieCarrShow.com and click on store to get your dad the perfect gift for this Father's Day. And we've got an update on the bonus right now. If you go to the Cheap Bastards deal from now until midnight, when you order a Cheap Bastards deal, you will receive a free copy of what really happened to Howie's book. It's fantastic. So make sure you go to the CBDs. All right. Jared, poll question.
Who should shut up? Dr. Fauci, Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, AOC, or Prince Harry?
All right. And what are the results so far?
Dr. Fauci still in the lead at 40%.
Really?
24% say AOC, 16% for Joe Biden, 12% for Prince Harry and 8% for Kamala Harris.
Come on. Prince Harry should win that one. It's just, it's time for him to shut up. He adds nothing to the conversation. Whereas Dr. Fauci, I want him under oath. You do not want him shutting up and taking the fifth. That's just my two cents out there. Did you see over the weekend what happened in Texas? Big brouhaha over there. The Democrats, do we have the sound cut of the Democrats? Yeah, those are the Texas Democrats, if you didn't see it. So the Republicans were pushing election integrity legislation, and all the Democrats did that. Jared again? Yeah, they all had a little hissy fit. And they walked out. They staged a walkout, taking enough people out of the chamber so that they couldn't push. You know, they couldn't pass this piece of legislation. And you know, and if you saw some of the stories over the weekend, or if you read some of the headlines, you'd see drive-by media, ABC, NBC take shots at it. There was what was it? Oh. This morning on my computer, one of those news stories that pops up, Texas bill to restrict voting fails after Democrats stage walkout. This has nothing to do with restricting voting. Nothing to do. They punish election officials for making mistakes such as counting ballots wrong or counting ballots that they shouldn't count. Yeah, they would punish it. It also has, oh my goodness, show ID to vote. This is why the Democrats staged the walkout. Are you kidding me? This is election integrity ensuring. And so the Republicans say, well, if we're going to do mail-in balloting, we need to make sure that the people that are mailing in ballots are actual people. But why did the Democrats, why are they crying about this? Because Trump only won that state of Texas by 5%. And what's happening is they're trying to get illegal immigrants to vote in that state because the Biden-Harris administration is allowing the people to flow over the borders. And so if you don't verify who's voting, guess what? Illegal immigrants can vote and stealing the election from us. And so the Democrats staged this big brouhaha walkout. I mean, it's disgusting. Now, my favorite line has to be the Texas Attorney General. Nothing like our Attorney General. So the Texas Attorney General Paxton said, the only reason anyone would be against voter ID is to allow cheating. There it is. I agree. Good job. He's great. I love him. I love him. Now, the Democrats didn't like it. So the Governor Abbott, he said he's going to hold a special session to force them to pass the legislation. I love Governor Abbott. And I had a couple people from Texas telling me his time was being limited because they think Matthew McConaughey might win. But after this weekend, Matthew McConaughey crashed and burned with, wear your masks, wear your masks. All right, I'm Holly Robichaud. I'm filling in for Grace Curley. We'll be right back after this short break.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
And we're back. I'm Holly Robichaud, filling in for Grace Curley. If you'd like to be part of the conversation, hey, give us a call at 844-500-4242. Before the break, we were talking about what was happening in Texas. And I forgot, Jared, I forgot to mention the biggest crybaby of them all. Can we? So, yeah, that's Barbara Streisand. Recognize it there? Yeah, that's Barbara Streisand. So Barbara took to social media on Sunday to warn us all against the Republican Party, saying it seeks to install authoritarian state.
Don't bring around a cloud to rain on my parade.
I'm going to rain on her parade.
Don't tell me not to fly.
She has lost her mind. So this is what she tweets out. The GOP no longer believes in free and fair elections. What? Barbara, what is in your pancakes? This is why they are taking away rights of voters. We're not taking away any rights of voters. We're making sure people are legit. They want an authoritarian state. Hey, Babs, I think you're calling the wrong party that. I think it's the Democrats that want that. Have you noticed that they want to give statehood to Puerto Rico into D.C. so they can control the Senate forever? The whole court packing thing. Did you see that, Babs? I guess not. My favorite tweet, though, Jared, going back, is Streisand's not been shy about tweeting. She hated Trump. So at one point, she accused Trump. This is got a file under the blame Trump for everything. She accused Trump of making her gain weight because after hearing the morning news, she switched from liquids to pancakes doused in maple syrup.
Everybody's always blaming me for everything.
I know. I mean, come on, Babs. Right? You know whether you're having coffee or whether you're having pancakes. Come on, Babs. You don't have any. It's all Trump's fault.
Yeah, the coffee is very fluffy this morning.
So, well, should Trump gone to her house and said, Barbara, Babs, stop eating the pancakes, right? I mean, should he have shown up there and confiscated her pancakes and her maple syrup? I mean,
he gets in trouble for calling Rosie O'Donnell fat. Now he gets in trouble for somebody being skinny. Like, make up your mind here.
Right. I mean, So I don't know if you saw over the weekend, Stephen Moore has a new nickname for President Biden, the $6 trillion man. I loved it. I thought it was great. But I think he's a little short on his trillions because remember, Biden, before he released the budget, had proposed $6 trillion in new spending, the so-called infrastructure bill. And now the strict $6 trillion budget out there. So we're talking about $12 trillion. And then it's always going to be so helpful when Pete Buttigieg goes to try to defend Biden on the talk shows. Can we go to cut 27?
But where do you actually draw the line? What's not infrastructure?
This is called the American Jobs Plan because it contains a number of measures that are going to help Americans not only get jobs, but thrive in our country today. And this is part of it. We think these things fit together. And of course, it's not unusual in legislation to take a number of different elements that are part of a related theme and move them at the same time because Americans can't wait for us to resolve a dorm room debate over which policies belong in which categories.
I don't know of any dorm rooms debating at this point. First of all, I don't think the college dorm rooms, I believe most of them couldn't go back. And if they did go back, they were like, you know, basically locked into their room. They couldn't see anybody. So I'm not sure that this is a dorm room debate. And why would dorm rooms be debating whether child coverage? Child care coverage.
That was all the rage when I was in college.
No, definitely. I believe the kids were being more like, should we bring a mask with us or where can we go? How can we sneak into a bar? How do we, I believe that's the dorm room debate. But to be calling this a dorm room debate is really downplaying. And I believe that people have a right to question how that $6 trillion is going to be spent from the Biden administration. Oh, Jared, that was a good one. So infrastructure, look, most polling data shows that people want their roads paved and taken care of and there to be a good airport and the security lines work and not everything's broken down. I get that. But when you're adding in every little pet project, into these things. That's not infrastructure. And the Biden administration is doing a bait and switch on the people. And once again, this is like what goes on at Bacon Hill when they pass this budget and nobody's looking. The Biden administration's hoping that you're not watching, that you're worried about, is Baker going to shut me down again? Should I keep investing in people? How do I get employees? That's what you're worried about. And meanwhile, the Biden administration's like, hey, maybe we could throw a couple of these little things in there and we'll call it infrastructure. It'll all be good. Now, I also saw articles over the weekend where people say, well, deficits and debts don't really matter anymore. What planet are you from? First of all, just think about in your own household. I worry when my income's down off election years, my income goes down because I consult for candidates. And I worry about, you know, how are we going to pay the bills during this time period? Got to make sure we pay the bills because unlike a lot of other people, I don't think I should go to the government and say, hey, bail me out. I don't want to pay for my tuition. I don't want to pay my mortgage. I mean, when are we going to get free mortgages, right? I mean, they're giving everything else away. But I do worry about these things. And I also worry about the national debt because I believe that at some point that we're going to have to pay the piper and it's not going to be pretty. The first thing that's going to go, probably Social Security, right? I mean, doesn't that make sense? Pensions, say bye-bye to your pensions. Our country right now is $28 trillion in debt for the federal government. That doesn't even include state government and local governments. And you know that, I mean, look at the state of Massachusetts. The state of Massachusetts is the most indebted state per capita. That means we've run up the credit card bills. And these are all going to come due. And as you recall, when you get a credit card bill, right, Discover, MasterCard, Visa, they say, here's the minimum amount you have to pay. And nowadays, they say you have to pay above what you have to, you know, what you owe in interest. Well, here, you know, the federal government, get this, the federal government spends $400 billion on interest payments alone. That's not paying for any infrastructure. That's just, I mean, that's outrageous. And this is why we should be concerned about the debt, because as inflation goes up, so won't the cost of borrowing money. And that $400 billion number is going to become so high, we can't afford it. We are spending right now half of what we spend on our military on interest payments for the debt. That's huge. And just to give you an idea, if the federal government was to come to us and say, look, we're going to go bankrupt. Everybody's got to kick in their money. It's for the $28 trillion. Never mind the state and federal. I mean, state and local. For every person, they owe $85,000. But that's person. For every taxpayer to pay off the debt, $225,000. Jared, do you have an extra $225,000 to send to the federal government?
As it turns out, I don't.
I'm surprised. You don't have that extra money?
I don't have it hanging around anywhere, no.
That's like sending half a condo to the federal government.
That's insane.
Yeah. And if it was in Florida, that'd be sending a whole condo down. I mean, this spending is out of control. And people are thinking, like, to ruin your Memorial Day, but there's no such thing as a free lunch. You're not going to get free tuition. You're not going to get free tuition. What you're going to do is send those bills to other people. And as it's going right now, either it, you know, may be coming crashing for us and we're going to have to pay a lot more, or it's going to be our children and grandchildren that are paying for this excessive spending. This is wrong. We got to put the federal government on a diet and have them stop spending like drunken sailors. Cut them off. We got to stop spending. We've got a huge problem here, people, and I can't stress enough. Now, if you got a little extra free time, one of my favorite things to read is the Congressional Pig Book put out by Citizens Against Government Waste. Take a look at that and see how much money we waste every year on silly things. And I haven't read through it, but it must be, Wuhan Lab should be in here. I'm hoping it's in there. I'm Holly Robichaud. I'm filling in for Grace Curley. We'll be right back with Howie Carr.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley.
And we're back. I'm Holly Robichaud, filling in for Grace Curley today. And in studio right now, we've got Howie Carr. Howie, how is it going today?
Good. Good. It's Memorial Day. We'll be talking a lot about Memorial Day and how America should or is thinking about it or should be thinking about it.
Yeah, I saw that thing on Fox News where the students were signing a petition wanting to cancel Memorial Day. Not the brightest bulbs.
No.
This is why they should have been going to school and not learning remotely. So much for that.
I don't think they were learning too much when they were actually going to school.
No. So, hey, is Kamala Harris the dumbest person in the Biden administration?
Other than Joe Biden himself. I mean, I think she is even dumber than Joe Biden. That would be a good poll question, actually. Who's dumber, Joe Biden or Kamala Harris?
I mean, to suggest that corporations start, you know, growing jobs in Guatemala, El Salvador, and Honduras instead of in our own country. I mean, everything that Trump did, talking about bringing back all the jobs to our country, bringing back these corporations, and the Biden-Harris administration wants to send them out of our country?
Well, how about the tweet over the weekend when she said, have a nice long weekend? I mean, she didn't even mention in passing what Memorial Day is all about.
Well, that's because she doesn't know.
Right? I know that, but shouldn't someone on her staff? I mean, this is what we always say about Biden's speeches. You know, who's typing in the word phosphorus for him to read?
I know.
Or, you know, who's writing these numbers for him? I mean, how many years has it been since he got the numbers right?
Well, he doesn't get them. I think that's a reading problem.
Right. But I mean, again, doesn't the speechwriter have to write for his reader?
Well, yeah.
You know,
I guess they should write slower so he can.
I used to have to, as a reporter on Channel 7, I used to have to write the intro copy for the story sometimes if I was doing a live shot for the anchors. And, you know, the old phrase, KISS, keep it simple, stupid.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what we went by. I mean, that should be the motto of Joe Biden's speechwriters.
Right. Keep it short, too. Very, very short. Yeah. I mean, he slurs every other word.
Yeah.
I've seen more outrage over Matthew Perry slurring a couple words, you know, the guy from Friends, than I see on Joe Biden slurring every other word.
Well, the thing is, you see Matthew Perry because it's on all over social media. I mean, Joe Biden is not going to, it just doesn't get reported. I mean, most people don't even know this weird stuff that he said about this this elementary school girl that she looked like she was 19. I mean, goodness, what if Donald Trump had said that?
I
keep coming back to that. What if Donald Trump had said any of these things?
Any of these things, or Donald Trump was slurring his words, they'd have the casket out for him. I mean, saying.
Or how about if he couldn't subtract 52 from 100 to come up with 48, which he couldn't do last week. He got all confused about it.
It's sad.
Most people could do that. Even in a dumbed down public education system today, most people in the third grade or the fourth grade can handle that.
I think so. I hope so. And I can't believe that his people want him to go meet with Putin this next month. I mean, that's going to be embarrassing. I don't see any good coming out of that meeting whatsoever.
Well, I think he'll be very well protected. The thing, I was going to say he could be well protected, but who's going to protect him? I mean, these people don't know anything. Blinken, what's the guy's name? Klain?
Yeah.
I mean, you don't exactly have a lot of William Caseys out there. You know, people who have like combat experience parachuting behind enemy lines. I mean, these are all just Washington hacks.
Oh, it is the Hackville down there. So
I don't even think they've ever handled firearms or duked it out with anybody.
No. And nobody down there's had a real job. When you talk to them, when you hear the things that they're saying, they have not worked in the real world. They've just all, Joe Biden's been in government for 47 years,
right,
and he's had these people around him for 47 years. And
Dan Bongino always used to say that, he called them briefers, the guys at the FBI, but the same thing applies to all these government aides. They're all these wispy beta male type guys that weigh about 140 pounds. And, if they ever issued them a gun, it would have to be a 22.
Well, yeah, they couldn't lift it. And that's about, I'm a 22 girl. So, I mean,
but also let's just leave it at that.
Okay. All right. So, Barbara Streisand's pretty mad about what's going on down in Texas. Did you see her?
Yes.
TV? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, she blames Trump for getting fat, and now it's like the Republicans. Clearly, she's missed all of this discussion of what's gone on with the Biden administration wanting to pack the courts, calling the Republicans authoritarian.
They don't care. They don't care. It's again, she just gets all of her news from social media, and it's just I don't know. We'll talk a lot about this stuff. The Molly Tibbetts verdict came in on Friday, and of course the networks gave it a good leaving alone. And there was a mostly peaceful rap concert in Miami over the weekend.
Yeah, mostly peaceful.
Where two people were killed, and then and 20 were wounded, and then the people in the crowd began shooting back at the shooters.
Yeah, don't you hate when that happens?
It's all the guns' fault, though.
Yeah.
Everybody agreed unanimously it was all the fault of the guns.
Right. They have their mind of their own, so they just get set in their ways.
Right.
They like shooting people. Yeah, yeah. So, but hey, it's been great filling in for Grace, and I hope she's enjoyed a day off. And I just want to sign off with saying, thank you for all of those who served our nation, put their lives on the line so we could have our freedoms, and for the rest of us that are, we have to do our job in protecting those freedoms and not let the Biden administration get away with silencing us. Thanks, everybody. Have a good show, Holly.
Thank you.